Saturday Night Theatre.
I Said the Sparrow by Michael Davis.
FastJet 101, this will be a beacon approach, runway 26. The weather 220 degrees, 10 knots. Visibility 3 kilometers in light snow. 6 OKTAS at 800 feet. QNH 1014, AFV 1013, over.
QNH 1014, QFV 1013, FastJet 101.
FastJet 101, clear for straight in approach. Report established ILS.
We'll go FastJet 101. Mayday! 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 Anchorage approach. This is FastJet 101. We have an explosion. Rudder response nil. We're falling. We're falling.
Anderson, cable commissioning engineer for HMS Dorsal.
Your pass, sir?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Wait there.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
Are you going to board HMS Dorsal?
I am. Can I help you?
I want to get a message to my husband, weapons electrical mechanic Graham Bowles. They said they were sending somebody, but nothing seems to be happening. Well, could you find him for me, please?
Well, I can try. No promises, mind. I'll only be working in one part of the ship, and there's an awful lot of men on board there. What's his name again?
Bowles. Weapons electrical mechanic Graham Bowles.
Bowles?
Yeah. Tell him his wife is at top gate with a baby and I want to see him for a minute. Would you do that, please?
Well, I'll do my best.
Oh, thank you very much, sir.
Morning, Harry. You managed to get here, all right?
Oh, yeah. Foot down and a following wind. How are you, Mr. Jones? It's nice to see you.
Oh, I'm fine. Bit bleary-eyed, perhaps. I've been working most of the night. The dorsal's in the South Basin. Left at the flagpole and out along the quay.
Oh. Come on, please, sir.
You won't forget, will you, sir?
I won't forget.
What was that all about?
The girl?
Hmm.
Well, she asked me to get a message to her husband. He's on board the dorsal somewhere. God knows how I'm going to find him. Left here, is it?
Left here. That's one hell of a black eye she's sporting.
Isn't it just?
Marriage does funny things to people, Harry. No, we're not designed for it. Oh, that's a dorsal right out at the end.
My God, she's enormous.
Yeah, there's three times as much again of her below the waterline.
Huh?
The old first nuclear submarine, is she?
Yeah. Now, I've done a couple of Oberon-class diesel electrics in the past, but this is my first nuclear job.
Oh, it'll be interesting for you. Nukes are something else, Harry, me boy. How are things in South Wales, then? How's Dr. Hellman?
Well, you're a bit out of touch, aren't you? Dr. Hellman left the company.
Oh, really?
Yeah, shortly after the upheaval over Harry Morgan. 3 months ago now.
Well, what company did she go to?
She didn't. She packed the whole thing in and went home to Cambridgeshire. Now, how close can I park to this gangway?
Probably drawn a fox or the like. Very dutiful job to call him off now. A task to test the authority of Mrs. Woodhouse, no less.
Jason! Come here, you silly ass!
It's a beautiful morning. A time of year to knock spots off all the rest, I always think. The woman of the seasons. Colourful, beautiful, reliable. Not that woman always is, of course, reliable. Or dog, for that matter.
Or autumn. Here, Jason.
How old is he?
I'm not sure. 7 or 8, perhaps. It's my parents' dog. I'm just his minder.
I see.
My father is the vicar of Kinford. It's his bell you hear tolling.
Ask not for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for the vicar of Kinford.
There's a good boy. What was it, then? What were you after?
The day begs company, Dr. Hellman. May I walk part of the way with you and your friend?
Please do. You know my name.
Please do forgive me, Dr. Hellman. Henry Mastley, Ministry of Defence Accidents Branch, PPTO. Principal Professional...
Technical Officer, yes, I know.
How do you do?
How do you do?
I journeyed to Cambridgeshire via Houston in Texas to see you, Dr. Hellman.
You have?
A young man lecturing at the university there suggested that I should. Perhaps you remember him, Nigel Morgan. Frank Morgan's son?
Yes, of course. Jason, stay close now. How's Nigel enjoying America?
Very much indeed. He returns to England tomorrow somewhat reluctantly, one gathers.
You've travelled a long way to see me, Mr. Maslin. May I ask why?
Crash of the FJ-101, Dr. Hellman. You know, the aeroplane that came down in Alaska 3 months ago.
Reactor tunnel starboard bend, +274.
The reactor is controlled from the manoeuvring room aft. We lifted rods 2 days ago, sending the reactor critical, and we now have the primary loop under pressure, ready to supply the secondary loop with clean steam for tomorrow's sea trials. Your particular area of interest, of course, is the control room forward, so if you will follow me, gentlemen.
After you, Lieutenant.
Daylight lighting throughout the boat, full air conditioning, a constant temperature of 72 Fahrenheit. When we're under the North Pole, everyone on board here is in shirt sleeves.
What do you think of it, Harry?
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
gallons forward to aft, sir. Trim pump stopped and line secured.
800 gallons forward to aft. Trim pump stops, line secured.
Ready to start DFB. Fast loading.
Stand by to start DFB. Check zero loading all meters.
All meters zero loading, sir. That's fast loading.
Close DFB breaker.
DFB energized.
DFB energized, roger.
This way, gentlemen. Officer of the day is Second Lieutenant Swinburne. He is in charge of the control room and will see that you have everything you need.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I will leave you in his capable hands, if you will excuse me, Mr. Jones, Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Carry on, Mr. Swinburne.
Yes, sir. You have test equipment you want brought on board, Mr. Anderson?
Yes, oscilloscope, decade box, Aval and the like.
Richardson Powell. Sure detail, if trouble. If you give these men your vehicle keys, Mr. Anderson, they'll see you're here on board.
I'll go with you, lads. Oh, just one thing. How do I get a message to weapons electrical mechanic Graham Bowles? His wife and kiddie are at the dock gate. She asked me to tell him that they're there. She'd like a word with them, if that's possible.
Yes, we are aware of that situation, sir. I should leave well alone if I were you. Let Webber handle it.
Of course, anything you say, Lieutenant. I just thought I'd mention it. Right, lads, lead the way. Let's get Operation High Tension Cable underway. I'll be right back, Mr. Jones.
Okay, Harry.
Down our room. Then our electric running control.
Control, one trial all round sweep. Audible signal for trial run.
Roger.
How long was Frank Morgan head of the technical department, Dr. Hellman?
Frank was in charge for 30 years.
And you were his assistant for...
15 years.
A very long time indeed.
Yes.
He was to become director of research, and you were to take over as head of technical after him. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Forgive me, Dr. Hellman, but it does seem a little odd that just when you are about to receive well-deserved and hard-earned promotion, that you should decide to resign in order to come and live here in what appears to be early retirement. What made you do that, Dr. Hellman?
Actually, I'm working extremely hard. I'm writing a book on corrosion in aluminium alloys. Much needed. At least I hope it's much needed.
Your managing director, Mr. Saunderson, told me that you retired because of ill health, that you suffered a nervous breakdown, in fact.
I was quite ill for some time. Perhaps Mr. Saunderson saw what happened to me as a nervous breakdown. I don't know.
Was any one event responsible for your breakdown? There is always the danger that in the absence of evidence to the contrary, that one will assume things that are simply not true.
When Frank Morgan died, I no longer wanted to go on working in the place where I'd known my greatest happiness, Mr. Maskin. It isn't complicated or difficult to understand in any way. I simply resigned my job, that's all.
Would it be impertinent of me to ask whether or not you were in love with Frank Morgan, Dr. Hillman?
Yes, it would be, Mr. Maskin. Yes, I was in love with him.
And he with you?
What has this to do with the crash, Mr. Maskin?
Nothing and everything, everything and nothing. When I understand why a highly intelligent and successful man who has just been made a director of the company he has worked for all his life should suddenly decide to kill himself, when I understand that, Dr. Hellman, Frank Morgan's slate will be wiped clean and I will move on.
Many hundreds of people across the world took their own lives on the same day that Frank Morgan did. Are you curious about all of them too?
Should any of them prove to have been technicians who contributed to the building of the FJ-101? Yes. And especially if they killed themselves on the day following the air crash.
In that case, I can assure you that Frank Morgan in no way contributed to the wrecking of that aeroplane.
If you are sure of that, Dr. Hellman, then you must know why Frank Morgan killed himself.
Sonar Electric, all sound and functioning, Control. Over.
Control, sonar electrics all sound and functioning. Thank you, sonar. Kill signal.
Roger.
Come in.
Good morning, First Lieutenant. Welfare Officer Khan, sir. A slight problem, I'm afraid.
What seems to be the trouble?
The wife of weapons electrical mechanic Graham Bowles is at the main gate, sir. She wants to see her husband.
Is there any reason why she shouldn't see him?
She has a very severe black eye, sir, and is considerably upset.
Bowles is doing?
Don't know, sir. She refuses to tell me anything and simply insists upon seeing her husband. She has a small child with her, sir.
Domestic problems cannot be allowed to thrust their way on board here. The boat is under sailing orders and we're all extremely busy. You must see to the problem and send the woman on her way.
Yes, sir. I realize that Bowles cannot be allowed to leave his station, sir. I thought you should be made aware that he's possibly under some stress and you may wish to act accordingly.
Thank you, Welfare Officer Calm. You can leave the matter with me.
Thank you, sir.
Coxswain is required in the wardroom.
This is no use, Mr. Jones. I can't see a thing.
Hold on, Harry. Can you stop number one hydraulic pump, please, Mr. Swinburne?
Right. Number one hydraulic pump to rest.
Now, Harry, what's the problem? Well, my oscilloscope screen is completely blotted out by electrical interference. If there's any electrical discharge through the cable insulation, then I've got no hope of seeing it. Look at it. It's like a television set with the aerial pulled out. Oh, I should have done this work weeks ago, before they switched in the computers and the radar and Lord knows what else. But is there a landline telephone on board?
Yeah, there is.
Because it's perfectly obvious I'm not going to finish commissioning this lot by lunchtime tomorrow. I'd better have a word with John Saunderson back at the ranch.
Along the starboard alleyway, there's a telephone alongside the radio room.
Oh, well, I won't be a tick.
Your factory plant shutdown figures make sober reading, Saunderson. What's the matter? Are you missing the expertise of Frank Morgan and his sidekick, Dr. Hellman?
I must admit they've left something of a gaping void in the technical department. We're trying to recruit, but it's not easy getting the right people. Hansen's away commissioning equipment on board a nuclear sub. Brightman and Ellis are slinging cables across the Aswan Dam. So, we're virtually down to Philip Maitland, the technical manager, and Gordon Harkness, a design engineer. Hence the coughs and splutters out on the factory floor.
Have the dust more or less settled after the crash of the FJ-101? And the business of Frank Morgan doing himself in?
Yes, pretty well. We're back to normal. Apart from being short-staffed, of course.
Are you aware that Henry Maslin has been sniffing around the university at Houston, Texas, talking to Frank Morgan's son, Nigel?
Was I who sent him there?
Indeed.
Well, he needed the help of an expert on silicon chips and microcircuitry. He asked for Harry Anderson, but he was away commissioning. So, I recommended Nigel Morgan. Who better? He's considered to be a world authority on the subject, I believe.
she came. I went one better. I used Maslin as a messenger. I sent Nigel a copy of the Sunday Times with our advertisement for a director of research, ringed in red.
And the job his father had been given before he removed himself from the scene?
The same. Nigel won't take it, of course. He has his sights set on higher things. But I thought it was a good opportunity to show both he and friend Maslin that we've nothing to fear from either of them.
Well, I'll say this much for you, Saunderson. You've got nerve.
Thank you, Lord Glengowan. I have been schooled by a master.
Yes, well, you have, my dear chap, so you have. What if Maslin makes his way to Dr. Hellman via young Morgan in America? Had you thought of that?
It has to be a possibility.
Well, aren't you concerned what the silly bitch might say now that she's shot off in a fit of self-righteous pique? She could jolly well sink the lot of us.
But to do that, she'd have to reveal her beloved Frank as a fool and an incompetent. I can't see her doing that, can you?
Well, a cool one, Saunderson. I'd rather have you for a friend than an enemy.
Excuse me, Mr. Saunderson.
Yes?
A telephone call for you, sir. Will you take it at your table, sir? I can plug the telephone in.
Well, thank you, yes. Hello, Saunderson speaking.
Mr. Saunderson? Harry Anderson, sir. I've got problems on board HMS Dorsal.
One of the rules of international sabotage is that the moment a target has been hit, then some idiot or other is immediately on the phone telling the press and the world why he did it. Freedom for political prisoners in Outer Mongolia or some such. But not in the case of the FJ-101, Dr. Hellman. It's now 3 months since that aeroplane crashed, and so far no one has claimed responsibility. And we find that very worrying.
Quite sure the plane was sabotaged.
Oh, quite sure. No doubt about that at all. It was thought at first that rivet failure had caused the crash. But subsequently, bomb fragments were found, and then pieces of the control mechanism that detonated the bomb, which, incidentally, I delivered to Nigel Morgan in America for his analysis.
See?
The thing that's causing us most concern is the fact that the FJ-101 was the first of 12 such aeroplanes being built here for delivery to Red China. The question we have to ask ourselves is, will the motive that prompted the wrecking of the FJ-101 also apply to the 102? And 3 and 4, for that matter. The man has to be found, Dr. Hellman. All this tranquility unused, and I've spent my life rushing hither and thither to prove heaven only knows what. What a wasted life I've led.
I'm sure that your life has been anything but wasted, Mr. Maslin.
Thank you, Dr. Hellman. Why did Frank Morgan kill himself?
The inquest found that he'd been overworking, that he was apprehensive about his new responsibilities. He had admitted to me and to others feelings of great inadequacy. All this served to bring about a breakdown, and in that state of mind he killed himself. It was all extensively reported upon at the time, Mr. Maslin, as I'm sure you're quite well aware.
There are numbered amongst my friends men who knew Frank Morgan well. Duncan Jones, for example, whose comment on the inquest finding was poppycock. In his estimation, Frank Morgan was built of rock.
Even a rock will crack if you hit it. Hard enough, Mr. Maslin.
Ah.
Jason! Hold now! Here, Jason!
Isn't that interesting? Over there. See how the trees follow the line of the college roofs? Why should that be, do you suppose?
Perhaps the trees are planted for their known potential height and chosen by a man of vision.
Yes, that might well be the solution. It is true to say that there are no known mysteries, Dr. Hellman, only unknown answers. It's simply a matter of searching until we find out what the answer is. Are you free tomorrow, Dr. Hellman? There are other matters I would like to discuss with you.
Yes, of course, if you wish.
Trouble is, of course, in order to successfully fill in the missing pieces, others must also be involved. Would you be prepared to journey down to South Wales to attend a meeting at your old factory tomorrow afternoon?
I will, if you want me to.
Good. That's settled, then. I'll leave you to enjoy your walk, Dr. Hellman. Until tomorrow, then. Good day.
Goodbye, Mr. Maslin. Damn. Double damn.
Hang about, Porky. Watch what you're doing with that bleeding screwdriver.
Oh, sorry, Bowlesy. It sort of slipped. Like your fist did when it bashed into your missus's eye. Like this.
Oh, my God. What's the matter with you? You daft or something? What about my missus, eh?
Oh, don't come innocent, mate. Jacko just come on board. He says your missus is at the main gate with your nipper and she's got a black eye like the toe of your boot, bleeding animal that you are.
Oh, God, turn it in with that bloody screwdriver. I never touched her. Ow!
Did you manage to get hold of your boss?
Yeah, I spoke to John Saunderson, the MD. He was out to lunch with Lord Glengower, chairman of the group. Now, the first question he wants answered is, since I can't measure insulation discharge levels, will you accept the cables on the overload and earth test sequences?
The short answer to that is no way. There's far too much at stake, Harry.
Well, in that case, he sees no alternative other than we go on our sea trials and observe the cables working under full load conditions. It's up to you, Mr. Jones.
Well, we need ministry clearance. No problem there. How do you feel about it?
Oh. There's not much choice, is there? I mean, I can't honestly say that going to sea in one of these things has been a lifelong ambition of mine.
But... Ah, you'll enjoy it. Great fun.
I'll tell you when we get back whether or not it was great fun. In the meantime, let's do what we can by the way of discharge tests, then, shall we? Second Lieutenant, we've got an electrical interference problem. Tell me, what circuits can you isolate without actually starting World War III?
Excuse me, coxswain.
Yes, Bowles, what is it?
My wife and kids are at the main gate asking to see me, sir. Just a quick word, I'll be right back.
Oh, sorry, Bowles, no one leaves the job in hand. Back to your station, lad.
I think she's in some kind of trouble, sir. Jacko just come on board and says she's got a shocking black eye.
Shouldn't have given her then, should you, Bowles?
No, I didn't, sir, honest. I never touched her. Please, coxswain, just a word, I'll be right back.
Oh, leave it with me, Bowles. I'll take it up with the First Lieutenant. Back on station, there's a good lad.
Ah, yes, sir. Thanks, coxswain.
Forward clean water valves, two turns to open. Roger.
Excuse me, number one.
Yes, coxswain, what is it?
Bowles, sir. He knows his missus is at the dock gates asking to see him. He just asked permission to go ashore, sir.
Did you give him permission?
Not yet, sir.
Tell him to stand down for 15 minutes.
Aye, sir. Thank you, sir.
Sex is a terrible thing, coxswain. It'll draw a man further than gunpowder will blow him.
It will, that, sir. Excuse me.
How's that, Mr. Anderson?
Well, it's better, but there's still miles too much interference. What else can you isolate?
You've just about had the lot. Everything else is active, stroke functional.
Could you build some filter circuits, Harry? Measure the frequency of the interference and filter it out?
Well, it's not easy, but it's worth a try, I suppose.
Excuse me, Second Lieutenant. Where's Bowles?
He went ashore to see his wife, coxswain. I thought he went to you for permission.
But I didn't give it, did I? Right, Bowles. We'll soon see about that.
If you won't tell me what the problem is, Mrs. Bowles, how can I possibly help you?
I don't want you to help me. I just want to see Graham for 2 minutes, that's all. If you just let me talk to him, I'll go away, I promise.
Your husband's very busy at the moment, Mrs. Bowles. His ship is about to put to sea. Well, is it money? If it is, I can probably...
Oh,
it
isn't money. Oh, go to hell. Come on, Kerry, we're going.
Wait, Mrs. Bowles, if you'd only trust me, I could help you.
Oh, drop dead.
Oh, stupid, idiotic woman. Oh, God, they make me so angry.
Cheer up, ma'am. You can't win them all, as I say. Oh, my wife is here. Where is she?
Oh, she's there. Quickly, Bowles, go after her.
Thank you, ma'am. Hey, Bowles, your pass! Where's your pass? Cathy!
Graham.
Hush now. It's all right. I've got you. Cathy, you're all right. What happened?
He beat me up. Help me, Graham. Help me.
It's all right. It's all right. I've got you.
Hello, Mother.
Hello, dear. Did you have a nice walk?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, you're back, are you? With your muddy paws all over my clean kitchen floor. All right. I'll get you something to eat in a minute. A man called to see you whilst you were out. Someone from the Ministry of Defence. I think he said he was. Mr. Mallon, was that it?
Maslin, Henry Maslin. You carry on, Mother. I'll see to the dog. Come along, Guzzlegar.
Thank you, dear. I told Mr. Maslin that you usually walk over towards Histon along the edge of the woods. Did he find you all right?
Yes, Alice. There you are. Eat those and stop being a nuisance.
Well, what did he want?
Who, Mother?
The man, dear. Mr. Maslin. Well, was it important?
Quite important. I have to go down to South Wales to attend a meeting tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, must you, dear? Daddy and I hoped that you'd put all that unfortunate factory business behind you now. We don't want to see you upset again.
I'll be perfectly all right.
Why, if you must, you must, I suppose. Will you go by train, dear? It's a very long way to drive.
I'd prefer to drive.
Oh. Well, will you stay overnight? It's much too far to motor there and back all in one day.
I have promised over and over again to go and see Frank Morgan's widow, Judith. Now might be a good opportunity. I'll stay there overnight if she'll have me. I'll just go and give her a ring.
I don't know what your father will say, I'm sure.
Please, Graham, go back to the ship. I'll be all right now that I've seen you. You'll get into awful trouble if you stay here any longer.
First I'm going to get you out of here onto a train to my mum. Then I'll go back to the ship. I'm not leaving you two here for your old man to beat up every time the kid cries in the night with earache. Drunken animal that he is. Where's my number two uniform? I won't get far wearing a boiler suit, will I?
Oh, it's in the wardrobe. Go back now and Kerry and I'll make our way to the train and go and stay with your mum. Please, Graham.
First I'll put you on the train, then I go back to the ship. All right?
Mm.
Have you got everything?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I'll just climb into some decent gear and we'll be on our way.
Look, hurry, Graham. Please, hurry.
Come in.
The cable commissioning engineer Anderson, Captain. You sent for me.
Ah. The second lieutenant tells me that you're having difficulty carrying out insulation discharge tests on the hydraulic pump high tension cables. What seems to be the trouble?
Well, sir, standing electric fields in the control room are blotting out the oscilloscope screen. So I'm hoping to be able to tune out the noise by building filters. We're on that now, sir.
Ah. Will you be able to complete the task by the forenoon tomorrow, assuming that your filters work?
That's extremely unlikely, sir. Mr. Jones has asked the Ministry of Defence for clearance for us to be present on board during your sea trials, Captain.
Ah. Thank you, Mr. Anson. That is all I wanted to know. Come in.
Oh, I'm sorry, Captain. I didn't know Mr. Anderson was with you.
Well, that's quite all right, number one. Mr. Anderson has been bringing me up to date on his cable commissioning position. It seems likely that both he and Jones, M.O.D., will be accompanying us on our speed trials. Can you think about organizing bunks for them and what have you?
Certainly, sir.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Anson. You may stand down. Carry on with the good work.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Captain, and excuse me.
We could have done without having boffins on board. But needs must, I suppose. Yeah, you wanted to see me, number one.
We're a man down, sir.
Sick, injured, or AWOL?
AWOL, sir. Weapons electrical mechanic Graham Bowles jumped ship an hour ago, Captain.
Ah.
He went ashore without permission and hasn't returned to the boat.
Alert the naval police and shout hell high for a replacement, number one. I'm not taking her out undermanned.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Here we are. A cup of tea and a sandwich for Mum. And an ice cream for you. How's it? How long since you've eaten?
The baby had some cornflakes and a piece of toast for breakfast. I had a cup of tea and a fag.
Oh, dear.
Graham, I'm worried. You're going to get into awful trouble.
It'll be all right. Stop worrying. I'll go back on board just as soon as I've got you two fixed up.
What'll I tell your mum about my black eye?
You tell her the truth. Tell her what your old man did. Drunken swine that he is. How is your poor ear now, my handsome?
God, Graham!
What is it?
Don't turn round. Two naval policemen just come in. They're checking seamen's passes.
Right, look sharp. On your feet, out through that door there. Don't hang about. Come on, son, never mind your ice cream. Daddy will buy you another one. Go on, quickly, Cathy, off it.
Well, aren't you sick of it, Sanderson? Up to your ears in this bang-bang and you're dead business?
Mm.
Relying on NATO and its war game for your tonnage? If you make a mistake on a commercial order, you may lose a customer. If you make a mistake on a defence contract, you lose your factory. As Frank Morgan so nearly demonstrated a little while ago. I'd have thought the fright that man gave you would have sent you scurrying off looking for safer outlets for your product before the sod had closed over the old idiot's head.
Well, that's precisely what we are doing, Lord Glengarry, but these things take a great deal of time. Yes?
Mr. Harkness is here, sir.
Oh, send him in. If you want to promote Harkness head of technical, Saunderson, then you jolly well do it. Never mind what Maitland has to say about it. You're the boss.
Yes, all right. Leave it to me. Ah, there you are, Philip. Come along in.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, Lord Lagarde.
Maitland, did you ask Harkness to bring in the lab releases on the cables we supply to the nuclear sub? Maslin's bound to want to see them when he arrives this afternoon.
Yes, he's collecting them together now.
Oh, good. Sit down, Philip. Sit down.
Thank you, sir.
What have you got against this chap Harkness, Maitland? Saunderson tells me you don't see eye to eye.
Oh, you really are the limit, sir. I didn't say anything of the kind. What I said was, Philip isn't too keen on having Gordon Harkness as head of the technical department, which is not the same thing at all.
Well, of course it is. Nitpicking nonsense. Why don't you want Harkness promoted head of technical, Maitland?
I don't think he's the man for the job, that's all. He's just not up to it.
I thought Harkness was supposed to be a top-flight cable design engineer.
Well, and so he is, but that's all he is. He simply hasn't got what it takes to handle factory floor supervision. You've got to be pretty tough to survive out there, and Harkness hasn't got it.
Well, sort it out any way you choose, but I want the situation resolved and quickly. As long as you've got men like Henry Maslin breathing down your necks, then you need someone to be responsible when things go wrong.
Frank Morgan.
And look what happened to him.
Better Morgan cut his throat than either of you two. What about this chap, Anderson, the one away on board the sub? Could he do it?
He's the best field engineer we've got. We'd find it hard to replace him.
Coupled with the fact that Harkness is as jealous as hell of him, they'd fight like cat and dog.
Anderson is a factory floor graduate. Harkness despises his lack of formal qualifications.
Well, it seems to me that...
Yes?
Mr. Harkness is here with the lab release figures for HMS Dorsal, sir. Do you want to see him?
Bring him in, Saunderson. Let's take a look at him.
Yes, yeah, send him in.
Yes, sir.
Come along in. And close the door.
Are those the lab figures for the Dorsal's cables?
Yes, sir.
No use giving them to me, my dear chap. I wouldn't know a high-tension cable if I tripped over one. Give them to Saunderson.
No, best show them to Mr. Maitland, Gordon. They're nearer his backyard than mine.
Everything in its right place, Gordon? All in order?
Everything appears to be within specification, sir.
How much current carrying capacity over and above normal working loads do you build into such a cable, Mr. Harkness?
Perhaps Mr. Maitland had better answer that, sir. I didn't design these particular cables.
What was that?
I said, sir, that you designed the cables for HMS Dorsal. It says so here on the release note. Cables designed by Philip Maitland under your signature.
My dear chap, you know perfectly well that that is a mere technicality. You designed them, I released
Your design, them. My draftsmanship. It says so here on the release.
I had nothing whatsoever to do with the design of these cables. You know that as well as I do. What the devil are you playing at?
You signed as the design engineer. Therefore, the cables are your responsibility and not mine.
You see? You see what I mean? Is this the man you want as head of the technical department? The moment the slightest responsibility is placed upon him, he immediately wriggles out of it. You designed those cables, Harkness. You and you alone. I was never anywhere near the drawing board on this project, and, well, you know it.
You never are you, sir?
What?
But that doesn't prevent you taking credit for everything drawn upon it.
Now, gentlemen, this is all very unnecessary. We're not at risk in this. It doesn't matter which one of you designed the cables. There's nothing wrong with them. So, let's just cheerfully produce the figures for Mr. Maslin when he arrives this afternoon, and then go quietly about our business, shall we? Thank you, Gordon. You've been a great help, as always.
Thank you, sir.
We'll discuss this later, Gordon.
Yes, sir. We most certainly will. Excuse me, gentlemen.
Devious, lying little swine. He designed those cables. He knows damn well he did.
And why, may I ask, did you sign away the man's credit? If you ask me, Maitland, you jolly well got what you've been asking for. This is the way you carry on.
Surely, as technical manager, I am required to sign for such work.
In that case, you must accept ultimate responsibility when the time comes and not wriggle out of it, as you so graphically accused Harkness of doing a moment ago. Can we get on, Saunderson? I've rather a heavy schedule ahead of me if I'm to be away by lunchtime.
Yes, of course, Lord Glengarry. Thank you, Philip. That'll be all. Keep me informed of any development on board HMS Dorsal.
Yes, sir. If you will excuse me.
Well, well, well. Fancy Harkness getting up on his hind legs like that. I didn't think he had it in him. One in the eye for Maitland.
Serves him damn well right. Never did like the fella. I've a jolly good mind to crown it all by promoting Harkness head of technical and let Maitland pick the bones out of that.
Only if it's very important, Mrs. Crawford. Lord Glengar and I are extremely busy.
Dr. Hellman is here to see you, sir.
Good Lord. Well, show her in, Mrs. Crawford. Show her in.
Upon my soul. I thought we'd seen the last of the worthy doctor.
Dr. Hellman, sir.
Oh, what a truly wonderful surprise. Do come along in, my dear. Mrs. Crawford, coffee, right away.
Certainly, sir.
Come along in and sit down, Dr. Hellman. You're looking absolutely splendid. Fit again, are we?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Saunderson. Good morning, Lord Glengar.
It's nice to see you again.
Thank you.
You arrive in time to solve with the merest nod of your lovely head a problem we wise old men find insoluble, Dr. Hellman.
And what might that problem be, Lord Glengar?
Who is to lead us now that you are no longer here? We have one expert away and lost to us, at least temporarily. Another present and showing all the temperament of a prima donna. Mm. Oh, how we long for those tranquil days of yore when you were the head of the technical department.
Frank Morgan was head of the department, Lord Glengar, not I.
No, you were appointed head before Frank Morgan removed himself from amongst us, Dr. Hellman. The fact that you chose to remove yourself equally effectively before the appointment was ratified is no fault of ours.
Return to work, Dr. Hellman. We sorely need you.
The job of Director of Research is yours from this very moment, if you want it. Name your salary.
My reasons for leaving are as valid now as they were the moment I left the company. I'm not here to seek my old job back again. I'm sorry.
Then why are you here, Dr. Hellman? I'm quite sure that your visit has meaning and purpose. May we know what it is?
I've been questioned by Henry Maslin and invited by him to attend a meeting here at this factory this afternoon. I believe that the meeting will take the form of a board of inquiry that will give Mr. Maslin plenary powers to make me answer questions I refused to answer yesterday. You are aware that he is on his way here now.
We are, but we thought for an entirely different reason.
And I thought this business of the FJ-101 was dead and done with, Saunderson.
I'm afraid not. Far from it.
What question did you have difficulty in answering yesterday, Dr. Hellman?
Why Frank Morgan killed himself.
If you're placed on oath, what will you do?
I will have to tell the truth.
You and Frank Morgan shared much in common, Dr. Hellman. Not least, an expensive moral sense.
Would you have me lie on oath, Lord Glengar?
Madam, I tell lies every day of my life. I'm the father of a large and demanding family that would starve to death if I didn't tell lies in order to keep them alive. And what is this dreadful secret you are asked to keep? One small mistake by one addle-headed metallurgist that would have been over and done with and forgotten if the old fool hadn't killed himself because of it. But what of his inheritors, Dr. Hellman? We lesser folk who are not endowed with your perfect sense of right and wrong, must this glowing, virtuous truth throw 3,000 men and women employed here out of work because you feel compelled to utter it? By all means, lie on oath, Dr. Hellman, if it injures nothing more valuable than your puny conscience.
I will continue to try to avoid telling the truth. I will not lie to conceal it.
Then go to the devil, woman.
If you had done as I asked in the very beginning and admitted Frank Morgan's error to the Ministry of Defense, instead of covering it up, this situation would not now exist.
Nor would the factory, madam, nor would the factory. We are here because we had the courage and determination to survive. We cannot all of us run and hide in the countryside writing our memoirs or books on corrosion or whatever else your valuable contribution is at the moment. The decision to conceal Frank Morgan's slip-up from the authorities was based on the fact that it in no way contributed to the loss of the FJ-101. The fact that Morgan believed that it had and killed himself because of it is unfortunate, but it is not our responsibility. Once the decision had been made to carry on here as though nothing had happened, the situation became irreversible. There is no way back, Dr.
Hellman.
I
will not accept that. No matter how tightly you lace up the system and no matter how diligent your overseers are, mistakes will be made. Every aircraft that ever crashed did so because of a mistake.
With the notable exception of the FJ-101, which was sabotaged. Fool and incompetent Frank Morgan might have been, but in no way did his lapse contribute to the wrecking of that aeroplane.
Which is the best possible argument for telling Henry Maslin exactly what occurred. In return for this, I am sure he would allow Frank's error, and the company could go forward with a clean slate. If you will do this, then I will gladly return to work for you.
Yes, but if we do that, then we automatically admit to a cover-up.
What you ask is impossible.
Then I'm afraid we have nothing more to say to one another. When Mr. Maslin arrives, will you tell him that he can contact me at Frank Morgan's house? I shall be there for the rest of the day.
Here we are, coffee and biscuits, just as you always like them, Dr. Hellman.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Crawford, I'm not staying. Excuse me.
You're not leaving, Dr. Hellman?
Yes, I'm afraid so. Good day, gentlemen.
You weren't able to persuade Dr. Hellman to come and take charge once more?
I'm afraid not. No, just leave the coffee, my dear. Lord Glengarry and I are more than grateful.
What a shame. I was looking forward to things being as they were in the old days. What a shame.
What do you think, Sanderson? Will she scupper the lot of us, or will she button her lip?
If she does decide to keep quiet, it'll be for better reasons than we've been able to invent. She's a woman of considerable resolve, is Dr. Hellman.
Who else is involved in this god-awful business?
Well, Harry Anderson, who raised the incorrect procedure which Frank Morgan signed, he's away, so Maslin can't get to him. Harkness, who reproduced the incorrectly released material to facilitate the cover-up, so he's not going to give anything away, is he? And a lab girl called Helen, who uncovered the whole thing. A considerable area of risk there, I'm afraid. Being young and innocent and not yet corrupted by it all, she's quite likely to tell the simple truth, God help us all.
Then someone had better put the fear of God into her. I think a word with Philip Maitland, don't you?
Yes. Ask Mr. Maitland to come in, would you please, Mrs. Crawford?
Yes, sir.
Won't mind if I shove off before Maslin arrives, will you, John? I've managed to stay out of this so far, and I intend to keep it that way. Can't afford mud on me boots.
Of course, Lord Glengower.
Harbour stations, make your reports.
Torpedo loading hatch shut and clipped. Four clips. Bow cap check shut. Number one main vent shut and cotted. Tube space ready for sea.
Tube space ready for sea. Roger. Reactor space, make your report.
Green steam in secondary loop. Reactor space ready for sea.
Reactor space ready for sea. Roger. Captain to control. Obey telegraph. Single up fore and aft. Let go fore and aft. Number 20, slow ahead to go.
Till yesterday, didn't we?
No, not till yesterday.
No. Whatever have you done to your eye, dear? But my big boy hasn't been knocking you about, has he?
No.
Oh, to the edge of the door, didn't you, Kath?
Oh, yeah.
Wham, bam, head on into it. Oh. I've been telling her, raw steak's the thing.
£3 a pound, you must be joking.
Oh, let me look at you. Oh, what a big boy you've grown. Oh, what a lovely surprise. What a lovely surprise.
Mm.
Send her in. Come in, Helen, and close the door. Sit down, Helen. I'll be with you in a moment.
Thank you, sir.
How long have you been with us, Helen?
4 years, sir.
Long enough to know the laboratory record system pretty well, wouldn't you say?
Yes, sir.
And as senior laboratory assistant, you are responsible for the correct filing of all paperwork relating to the testing of material manufactured by this company.
Yes, sir.
Have you any idea what takes place at a board of inquiry, Helen?
Questions are asked and answers are given, I imagine, sir.
Precisely. Questions are asked and answers are given. For your information, we have every reason to believe that Mr. Henry Maslin of the Ministry of Defence will convene such a board of inquiry here at this factory this afternoon, where questions will be asked and answers will be given. And you, young lady, will not be shown in a very good light.
Have I done something wrong, Mr. Maitland?
Have you done something wrong? Good God, girl. Laboratory assistant, you were responsible for the incorrect filing of that disastrous release note.
But I found it when I was checking the files, Mr. Maitland. That's what I was doing, making certain that everything was in its right place. To check everything at the time of filing would mean I'd have to file everything myself, which is impossible.
I'm sorry, that's simply not good enough. I have to be responsible for other people. If they let me down, then I alone am held responsible. I will not tolerate buck-passing in my department.
I'm not buck-passing. I'm simply stating that it is impossible for me to check everything at the moment of filing. I can only do that later and collectively.
Argue all you like, young lady. The fact remains that if that release note had been correctly filed, then there's every chance that it would have been seen to have been made out to a commercial specification, and this mistake would have been realized before Frank Morgan signed it. None of this would have happened. There has to be a possibility, Helen.
Why wasn't this brought up before? When Mr. Maslin was here at the time of the air crash, no one suggested that it was my fault that Mr. Morgan made a mistake. Why now, Mr. Maitland?
Because no one asked then, Helen. But things could be very different here this afternoon. You know, the sad thing is that people like Mr. Saunderson and myself are going to have to tell lies in order to keep you out of very serious trouble, young lady. Now, that is something we will gladly do, Helen, because we realize what a good and splendid girl you are. If Mr. Maslin found out and we had to dismiss you, it would be a matter of the greatest possible regret to us all.
Thank you, Mr. Maitland.
It follows, of course, that if we hide the facts from Mr. Maslin in order to protect you, then you must also tell the same story.
But I don't know what story I'm supposed to tell.
This is what you've got to say. That Frank Morgan signed the release.
Ease your helm.
Ease your helm, sir. Sea stations, make your reports.
Reactor maintainer critical. Clean steam stunned at both engines. Control valves, truck 4 turns to open. UCL running.
UCL running. Roger, maneuvering room.
Main vent uncutted.
Main vent uncutted.
Tube space vent uncutted.
Tube space vent uncutted.
Control space vent uncutted.
Control space vent uncutted. Captain, sir, submarine opened up for diving. Q-tank flooded.
Thank you, number one. Go to the watch.
Aye, sir. Go to the watch, coxswain. Red watch close.
Red watch close, sir.
Send off diving and next of kin signal to SM3 Fastlane, coxswain.
Aye, sir.
All phases in balance, Mr. Jones. Variac standing at 200 volts, 30 amps flowing in all lines.
All phases in balance, Harry.
What's all this submarine ready to dive, sir? I thought at least I'd have time to get used to the
idea. Relax, Harry. We're not diving yet. She'll steam in this condition at all times, ready to dive at a moment's notice. No panic.
Thank the Lord for that.
What's the matter? Are you nervous?
Oh, just a bit. Don't worry, I'll soon get over it.
We'll be lost in the job and you'll forget all about it. You'll see.
Who did you get as Bowles' replacement, Coxon?
Fresh out of training school, God help him. I've put him with Killick Seaman Evans in the hydraulic pump room.
Keep an eye on him, Coxon.
Aye, sir.
Starboard 20, half a head together.
Starboard 20, half a head together, sir.
When did you get back from America, Nigel?
8 o'clock this morning. I went straight to a meeting at McEwen Aerospace, and then I drove down here immediately afterwards with Henry Maslin. I'm suffering from a severe case of jet lag. So forgive me if I'm slightly left of centre at the moment.
Were you able to help over the bomb control mechanism Mr. Maslin delivered to you in America?
Well, I was, inasmuch that I was able to tell them how the device worked. Whether or not that'll take them any nearer finding out who put the bomb in the aeroplane remains to be seen. I'm sorry, now they asked me to do it.
Why so?
Because the exercise thrust an extremely uncomfortable thought to the front of my mind, and I'd rather that it weren't there.
Oh. Can you tell me about it, Nigel?
Less than half an ounce of explosive was used to make that bomb, Dr. Hellman. If someone set out to wreck the FJ-101, why not make a bomb worthy of the name to make sure the plane would crash? I don't think the bomb was meant to wreck the aeroplane. I think it was meant to blow the heads off incorrectly manufactured rivets.
How do you know about the suspect rivets?
Pa told me. I was at home here the day after the FJ-101 crashed. John Saunderson suspended Pa from work, sent him home pending the outcome of an inquiry. He stood where you're standing now, his arms full of books and papers and looking like a whipped dog. The head's very cross with me, he said. I had my knuckles wrapped. I've been sent home from school. And to stand in the corner wearing a dunce's cap till they find out what happened. He went on to explain about having accidentally released wrongly specified material that was used in the manufacture of the crashed aircraft. Minutes later, he shut himself in a study, and he cut his throat. I saw the whole thing happen.
You believe that the bomb was meant only to draw attention to your father's mistake?
Well, it has to be a possibility.
Your father hadn't an enemy in the world, Nigel. It's impossible that anyone would want to do such a thing.
Who knows what's going on in people's minds, Dr. Hellman? Some nut with a chip on his shoulder? Who can say?
Have you told Henry Maslin about this?
No, not yet. But unless he comes up with the answer, then I'm going to have to tell him, aren't I? So far, all I've done is to suggest that the circuit used to control and to detonate the bomb should be shown to every company involved in the FJ-101's manufacture, in the hope that someone somewhere might recognize the design technique of an individual. Oh, it's a long shot. It's worth a try. I began by showing it to Philip Maitland and Gordon Harkness this afternoon. Oh. Didn't mean very much to either of them, I'm afraid.
It's a pity Harry Anderson is away. He's the electronics wizard. At least he would have understood the circuit, which is more than can be said for the other two.
Nothing lost. I think, really, I used it as an excuse to go to the factory just to be able to turn down an offer John Saunderson made me.
Director of research?
Oh, you know about that.
I encouraged Mr. Saunderson to make you the offer before I left the company. I hoped that you would take the job.
Well, after what they did to my old man?
No one did anything to your father that wasn't perfectly reasonable at the time and under those circumstances. It may not seem so in retrospect, and certainly not from your point of view. But at the time, everyone believed faulty rivets had caused the crash of the FJ-101.
Exactly. And someone was going to have to carry the blame, and that someone was Pa. I'm surprised at you whitewashing that mucky little gang, Dr. Hellman.
I'm not whitewashing anyone, Nigel. I'm simply stating a fact.
You resigned, for God's sake.
You think I resigned in protest at what happened to your father?
Well, why else? Everyone knew how much you thought of one another. Why else should you resign?
I resigned because the company used the work I did, proving the material released by Frank to be sound, to cover up the mistake he'd made in releasing it.
There was nothing wrong with the material released by Pa.
There was nothing wrong with the material, only the method of testing and releasing it. A commercial specification was used, and consequently, no samples were kept in what is known as the aircraft blood bank. Before I was able to prove that there was nothing wrong with the material and thinking himself responsible for the crash and the death of the 7 men on board, your father killed himself.
How did the company use the work you did to cover up Pa's mistake?
They present Henry Maslin with my material and my test figures as though they were the material and figures produced by Frank. Since the reproduced material was perfect, it neatly covered up Frank's error. Maslin suspected nothing. I resigned in protest at the cover-up.
You wanted Parr's mistake reported?
Oh, he would have had it no other way. Your father and I were both Ministry of Defence signatories, which means we were able to release material to defence contracts without ministry supervision. If I were a party to a cover-up, I would forfeit my right to be in the factory. I had no option other than to resign.
Well, why didn't you simply report what had happened?
I couldn't be sure that the government wouldn't withdraw ministry approval from the company. If that happened, then they would have to close down. If the mistake your father made had contributed in the smallest possible way to the crash of the FJ-101, then I would have had no choice other than to overrule John Saunderson and report it. But it didn't. So the only course left open to me was to resign and remove myself from the factory. I went there this morning to try once more to make them own up and face the consequences, but they will have none of it. They see the risk as too great, and maybe it is. After all, I wouldn't confess either, would I? I resigned, remember?
Well, well. So that's what it's all about. Poor old Pa.
Oh, there's worse to come. Did Henry Maslin tell you why he's visiting the factory this afternoon?
No.
He's going to hold an official inquiry and I'll have to testify on oath. I'm going to have to repeat to Henry Maslin what I've just told you.
You have to tell him. Why not tell a few fibs? From what you've told me, he'd have a hard time proving anything against you. Or anyone else, for that matter.
Your father wouldn't approve, Nigel, and neither would mine.
Isn't it simply a matter of survival? Well, Pa's dead. Telling the truth isn't going to help him, is it? Quite the reverse, it seems to me. If the factory did lose its license, then he would be blamed for it.
How can I lie on oath, Nigel?
It's been done before.
What am I going to do?
Prepare to dive the submarine.
Submarine secure and ready to dive, Captain.
All men below decks. Secure the fin.
Aye, Captain. Secure the fin.
Make a signal to our escort ship. We are about to dive.
Fearless, Fearless, this is Dorsal, radio check, over.
Fearless to Dorsal, receiving you strength 5, pass your message.
Dorsal to Fearless, submarine at diving stations, go to underwater telephone, over.
Fearless to Dorsal, go to underwater telephone. Good luck, Dorsal, roger and out.
Mr. Jones, Mr. Anderson, everything in order, gentlemen?
Yes, Captain, all cables well in hand, sir.
Very well, number one, let's baptize the baby, shall we? Dive the submarine. Press the taxon twice.
Aye, sir.
Dive the submarine to periscope depth. Open main vents. 5 degrees, bow down bubble.
Main vents open, sir.
Number one vent open.
Number one vent open, roger.
Number seven vent open.
Number seven vent open, roger.
Number three vent open.
Number three vent open, roger.
Number five vent open.
Number five vent open, roger.
5 degrees, bow down bubble, sir.
Roger, Helm. Take her to 10.
10 degrees, bow down bubble at 40 feet, sir.
One all round search on sonar.
Submarine at 60 feet, sir. Periscope depth.
Periscope depth, Captain. Close main vents. Trim 100 gallons from forward.
Trim pump running.
Main vent shut, sir.
Main vent shut. Roger, diving panel.
Sonar all-round search clear, sir.
All-round visual search clear, number one. All-round sonar and visual search clear, sir. Report all stations.
Tube space secure, sir.
Tube space secure, roger.
Hydraulic pump space secure, sir.
Hydraulic pump space secure, roger.
Maneuvering room secure, sir.
Maneuvering room secure, roger.
Hey,
the beach. It's the crushers, Graham. What are we going to do?
All right, I'm off. Tell them you come here on your own. Tell them you haven't seen
me. All right, Graham, go quick out the back window, quick.
Wait. If I get clear, I'll meet you in the feathers tonight, all right? Come on.
Mrs. Bowles, do you have reason to believe he's here? Mind if we take a look?
Here, here, here! Push
him!
I'd like the
door
on you.
Charlie!
Mrs. Bowles?
What do you want?
Mrs. Cathy Bowles.
What's it to you?
Your husband is absent without leave from his ship, Mrs. Bowles. Is he here with you?
There's no dear except me and my mother-in-law and the kids, so I can shove off the pair of you. Ah,
oh, no, sonny. Where's your daddy, eh? Where's your daddy?
After him, Charlie! He's in the garden!
Leave him alone!
Give me another dummy! You think Cathy? What's going on?
Take the submarine to 600 feet.
Aye, Captain. Down periscope. Take the submarine to 600 feet, Coxswain.
Diving panel. Trim 100 gallons from aft. 10 degrees, burn down bubble.
100 gallons from aft. Trim pump running.
Trim pump running. Roger. 10 degrees, bow down bubble aft 100 feet, sir. Make signal to escort ship. I'm diving to 600 feet. We'll patrol at that depth. Quiet state.
Dorsal to fearless. Dorsal to fearless. Come in, fearless.
Depth 200 feet. 10 degrees, bow down bubble.
Fearless to dorsal. Pass your message.
Dorsal to fearless. And diving to 600 feet. We'll patrol at that depth.
Variac standing at 800 volts. Current flowing 150 amps, all phases. Clamp resistance 50 microns. Flange temperature 63 degrees centigrade.
That's too high, Mr. Jones.
Depth 300 feet, 10 degrees, bow down bubble.
We're nowhere near maximum current, Harry. The dive will take it for three times this rating.
We're going to have to request reduced forward loading.
Depth 400 feet, 10 degree bow down bubble.
I've lost the resistivity reading. The galvo has shot off the scale. Reduce forward loading, Captain. Cable failure imminent.
Reduce forward loading. 5 degrees bow down bubble, Helm.
Aye, sir.
Cable down. Variac to zero.
No answer on planes or steering, Captain.
Hydraulic pump failure. Hydraulic pump failure. Put main vents in hand. Put steering vents in hand.
Main vents in hand, sir.
Steering panel, report steering vents in hand, over.
20 degrees, bow down bubble, Captain. No answer on the planes. I can't hold her, sir.
No answer from the hydraulic pump space, Captain.
This is the Captain. Hydraulic pump space, what is your situation?
Killick Seaman Evans injured in hydraulic pump space. I can't get the vents in hand.
Get to it, Coxswain.
Aye, sir. Depth 1,000 feet, Captain. 20 degrees, bow down bubble.
Fire red flare forward. Fire red flare forward.
Red flare, Coxswain.
Make a signal to the escort ship. Hydraulic pump failure, 20 degrees, bow down bubble at 1,000 feet. Endeavouring to put submarine in hand.
Dorsal to fearless.
What the hell's happening here?
Killick Seaman Evans fell when he lunged forward, sir. Oh. He's unconscious and I can't shut the vents.
Oh, come on, wind, lad, wind. Get these vents in hand.
Red flare on port bow, Captain.
Message from dorsal, Captain. They have hydraulic pump failure at 1,000 feet. 20 degrees bow down bubble.
Put me on mic, signalman.
On mic, Captain.
Hello, dorsal. Hello, dorsal. This is Fearless. Message received and red flare sighted. Report your situation. Hello, dorsal. Hello, dorsal. This is Fearless. Come in, please. Over. She's not answering, number one. Signal to Commander SM3 Faslane. Red flare from dorsal. Hydraulic pump failure at 1,000 feet, 20 degrees bow down bubble. Not answering underwater telephone. Position 58 degrees, 2 minutes north, 2 degrees, 15 minutes west.
You removed samples of the material supplied to the manufacturer of the FJ-101 from the aircraft blood bank and prepare the laboratory for the reappraisal of the materials by Mr. Duncan Jones of the Ministry of Defence. Now, what day was this, Helen?
The day following the crash of the FJ-101, Mr. Maslin.
Hmm. And how did you know that the material you took from the blood bank was in fact part of the original consignment supplied to the FJ-101?
I compared the numbers stamped into the metal with the number on the material's release note. They were both the same.
I see. And you signed the withdrawal form in the normal way?
Yes, sir.
As senior laboratory assistant in charge of records and documentation, you found nothing other than it should be when preparing for Mr. Duncan Jones's visit?
No, sir. Everything was in order.
Yes. Well, I think that gives a clear picture of the situation as you found it on that day, Helen. Thank you very much, young lady. You've been most helpful. Would you ask Dr. Hellman to come in, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Will you come in, please, Dr. Hellman?
Sit down, Dr. Hellman.
Thank you.
Take the book in your right hand and repeat after me. I swear... That the evidence I shall give...
That the evidence I shall give...
Shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
Shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God.
Does the number 79/6/548902 mean anything to you, Dr. Hellman?
It's the works order number relating to the rivet material this company supplied to the FJ-101.
Quite so, Dr. Hellman. Quite so.
Submarine answering planes and steering. We have an even keel at 1,500 feet.
Trim the boat.
Trim the boat.
Stand by to blow tanks.
Compressed air ready, sir. 20,000 pounds at the gate.
Signal to escort ship. Submarine in hand at 1,500 feet, emergency power only. Cable insulation failure on hydraulic pump circuit. Submarine on even keel and ready to blow tanks. Situation contained. We are ready to make an emergency surface, Mr. Anderson. Make your report.
We've removed the failed cable, Captain, and have almost completed fitting a replacement. You'll be able to restore power to the hydraulic pumps within minutes, sir. The G-clamp, Mr. Jones, I can't reach it.
G-clamp, Harry, right.
All stations, make your reports.
Engine room secure.
Engine room secure, roger. Tube space secure, roger.
Reactor secure.
Reactor secure, roger.
Manoeuvring room secure.
Manoeuvring room secure, roger.
Message from Commander, SM3 Faslane via escort ship, Captain.
Read the message, Signalman.
Report submarine secure. Return to surface and set course for base at slow speed. Surface and chopper backups dispatched. Commander SM3 Faslane.
Signal to Commander SM3 Faslane. Submarine secure. We'll surface and set course for base.
Ready to restart the hydraulic pump, Captain?
Stand by to restart hydraulic pumps.
Hydraulic pump bus bars floating.
Close the breakers.
Closing breakers now. Circuits loading.
Submarine answering planes and steering on hydraulic pump. 10 degrees up bow bubble.
Take the submarine to periscope depth.
A word with you, Mr. Jones and Mr. Anderson, as soon as you are free.
Dr. Hellman, I've listened to a procession of people, all of whom reassure me that nothing whatsoever happened at this factory outside its normal controlled function that is even worthy of a passing mention. And yet, on the day following the crash of the FJ-101, Frank Morgan, head of the technical department, went home at lunchtime, locked himself in his study, and killed himself. Now, I find that extraordinary. Unless, of course, he believed himself to be responsible for the air crash and killed himself because of it. That would make sense. Did Frank Morgan believe himself responsible for the crash of the FJ-101?
If he did, then he was mistaken.
That does not answer my question. Whether he was or was not responsible for the crash is entirely beside the point at the moment. What I want to know is, did he believe himself to be responsible? You must answer, Dr. Hellman. I'm waiting. Excuse me. Yes?
It's Saunderson here, Mr. Maslin. I'm sorry to have to interrupt you, but we've just received a message from the Ministry of Defense telling us of a cable failure that's occurred on board HMS Dorsal. The instruction is that you rerun lab tests on the cables involved immediately.
Thank you, Mr. Saunderson. Very well, Dr. Hellman. We will continue our conversation later on.
Couldn't you have foreseen the point of cable failure? Either of you?
Well, this has been the problem all along, Captain. If we'd been able to monitor the cable insulation discharge as intended, then of course we would have seen the event long before it happened. We would have spotted it in port immediately the cables were fitted. But you see, local interference completely blotted out the oscilloscope screen, and we've been flying blind the whole time.
But these cables were laboratory tested and passed fit. Why should they break down the moment they were put under stress?
Because the cables were tampered with, Captain.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Jones. Did I hear you correctly? You claim the cables were interfered with in some way?
Yes, sir.
Look, sir, here's the damaged piece of cable. Now you can see where a corona discharge took place through a rupture in the insulation here.
Huh? I see.
Now, if only one pinhole had existed, then it would have been impossible to say what happened because of the charring effect of the current discharge. Mm. But there are two further minute holes immediately adjacent, sir. Look there. See for yourself.
Could the holes have been made accidentally when the cables were being installed?
It's quite impossible, sir. The insulation is very thick and extremely tough. In my opinion, these holes were drilled in order to make the cable fail.
You are aware of the seriousness of what you are saying, gentlemen. You are stating that someone tried to sabotage this boat.
Yes, Captain. I'm afraid that's the truth of it.
Good God.
But there is a possible answer, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the idea occurred to both Mr. Jones and myself independently, and we could be hopelessly wrong. I hesitate to say what's in our
mind. This is no time to prevaricate, Mr. Anderson. Out with it, man. Say what you have to say.
Well, all right, then. When we were tied up alongside back in port, sir, we were assisted by two electrical mechanics, Phillips and Bowles. Now, they were quarrelling.
Quarrelling? What about?
Well, Phillips believed that Bowles had been knocking his young wife about. She was at the dock gate, sporting a very severe black eye.
I can vouch for the truth of that, because I saw the girl and spoke to her myself.
Look, Bowles was having difficulty getting permission to go ashore to see his wife. It's just possible that he damaged the cables, hoping to delay the submarine's departure, sir.
I see.
It's only a theory, Captain, and we might be quite wrong. We might be doing this Bowles a great disservice.
The First Lieutenant to the Captain's cabin immediately.
First Lieutenant, roger.
It is at times like this that I regret we no longer hang men for tricks like this.
What will they do to you, Graham?
Well, first they've got to catch me, ain't they?
But when they do, what will they do to you?
Oh, make me right out 100 times, I must not jump ship. Oh, and I'll have to sit through 16 showings of We Dive at Dawn.
Graham, I'm worried.
I don't care what they do to me. I'm at home here with you instead of out there with him. Whatever they dish out, it'll be worth it. I've had subs right up to here, Kath. I'm dead chocker, honest.
Well, I thought you liked the Navy.
Well, I used to once upon a time. Maybe I've lost my nerve, I don't know. All I do know is I didn't want to sail in the Dorsal, and that's for sure. God, she gave me the creeps.
Why? What was the matter with her?
I don't know. It's just a feeling I got. The minute I set foot on board her, I broke out in bleeding goose pimples. Maybe it's because I'm used to the old Oberons where you live inside the next man's jersey. All that room and all that daylight lighting giving me the abdames, give me stomach cramps. I just couldn't take to her. Come on, drink up. Same again, is it?
No. Can I have a whiskey and lemonade, please?
Aye, aye. There'll be a gay time in the old town tonight, tra-la-la.
Oh, Graham.
Go on, give us your glass.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
Can I see you leave, past sailor?
You get off.
Come on.
Get him! Ah! Hey! Captain! Captain!
Just a few more minutes, Mr. Maslin, and the laboratory will be ready for you to start your reappraisal tests. Mm-hmm. I've explained the urgency of the matter to the test house people, and they've agreed to work through until the task is completed.
Thank you, Mr. Saunderson. Have you shown Dr. Hellman the work you did on the bomb fragments, Nigel?
Not in any detail, no.
Then you should, my dear chap. Nothing short of genius, Doctor. Have you your copy of the circuit Nigel showed us this afternoon, Mr. Saunderson?
Yes, it's here.
Thank you. Explain its function, Nigel.
Right. Time and pressure were the two parameters used to control and ultimately to detonate the bomb. Each time the interior of the aeroplane was pressurized at the beginning of a test flight, the timing circuit became activized, and each time the plane returned to the ground, the timer returned to zero and simply waited for a further flight. It required 8 hours of constant pressurization to achieve detonation, which is London to Anchorage, precisely. When the plane was approaching Anchorage Airport, the bomb exploded, blowing the heads off rivets and carrying away control cables in the tailplane. The pilot immediately lost control and the aeroplane tumbled from the sky. Here you see a cadmium microdot cell linked to a Schmidt trigger timing circuit with a constant negative bias on the collectors. Now, this enables
Nigel.
The pressure within the aircraft
cabin...
Oh, sorry. My gabbling. I've spent so much time studying this circuit that I imagine everyone's familiar with it. All right, I'll try again.
You don't have to. I recognize the circuit.
You've seen this circuit before, Dr. Helmer.
Many times. An originally designed circuit is like a fingerprint. It can only belong to one person.
If you know who designed this circuit, young woman, you know who put the bomb on board the FJ-101.
That circuit is based upon a system used here in this factory to control extruder ram speeds.
Frank Morgan installed those extruders.
But he didn't design the control circuits.
Who did design the control circuits, Dr. Hellman?
Harry Anderson.
Good God. I've been looking in the wrong place. It isn't the FJ-102 he's after. It's the nuclear submarine.
I never touched the rotten cables!
Oh, yes, you did, Bowles. The commissioning engineer on board HMS Dorsal has already told us how and why you did it.
Honest to God, sir, I never touched the cables!
Someone reached you, didn't they, Bowles? Someone worked your missus over and threatened to do it again and again unless you did as they asked. Isn't that the truth of it?
No! Her father beat her up because the kid was crying. He tried to bash the kid and she stopped him. Ask her. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. I jumped ship, that's all I did. I never damaged no cables, sir. Honest to God, I didn't.
You jumped ship because you knew when and where those cables would fail. You intended to send that submarine to the bottom of the sea.
I couldn't. How could I?
What if I tell you that all those mates you are so fond of are dead, Bowles?
I don't believe you.
When the cables you damaged broke down, the hydraulic pumps failed.
Before
they could put the sub in hand, she plummeted down past a crushed depth and 20,000 tons of water squashed that boat as tight as a beetle beneath your boot. Now, will you tell me who made you do it?
No one! No one made me do it!
You admit to acting independently, and for reasons of your own, you sabotaged HMS Dorsal?
No, I didn't! I didn't! I jumped ship, that's all I did! Oh, please, sir, you've got to believe me. I didn't do anything to harm HMS Dorsal.
All right. Put him on Admiral's charge. You can answer to the old man first thing in the morning.
Ahoy, Dorsal! Do you require any assistance? Submarine secure. No assistance required. Thank you, Captain. Are you ready to form line astern and to proceed to base? We are ready when you are, Captain. Roger and out.
Message from Commander SM3 Faz Lane, Captain.
Thank you, Signalman. Good God. What is it, Captain? Cable commissioning engineer Harry Anderson, now known to be a high security risk. Place him under close arrest until the vessel reaches base, where he will be charged with attempted sabotage of HMS Dorsal. Commander SM3 Fuzzley. Well, see to it, number one.
Aye, Captain.
Starboard 20, slow ahead.
Starboard 20, slow ahead, sir.
Cable insulation discharged 9 picocoulombs.
That's a bit high, Maitland. We hardly passed 3/4 loading.
Check those cable clamps. We're picking up resistance somewhere.
Excuse me, Dr. Hellman.
Yes, Arnold, what is it?
It's Helen, miss. She's terribly upset. Would you come and have a word with her, miss? She wants to talk to you.
Yes, all right, Arnold. Where is she?
In the balance room, miss.
Cable insulation discharged 12 picocoulombs.
This really is much too high, Maitland.
Whatever is the matter, Helen?
Oh, Dr. Hellman, I'm so miserable.
Oh, there, now, never mind. Come on, sit down. Now,
Why not tell me all about it, eh?
What happened to Mr. Morgan was all my fault, Dr. Hellman. And I'm so ashamed. Please let me tell Mr. Maslin the truth. I don't care if they sack me like Mr. Maitland says they will, because I deserve it, Dr. Hellman. I deserve it.
What's all this nonsense about sacking you, for heaven's sake? What happened to Frank Morgan wasn't anyone's fault, Helen. An unfortunate combination of circumstances led Mr. Morgan to make a simple mistake, that's all. No one could have prevented what happened, least of all you, my dear.
But I could have. If I'd noticed the incorrect procedure before Mr. Morgan signed it, then none of this would have happened.
It was you who did notice it. You found the release note incorrectly filed.
It was I who filed it in the wrong place, Dr. Hellman.
How can you possibly know that, Helen? Anyone in the laboratory might have filed it, including me.
No, miss. It was amongst a batch of aircraft release notes that Mr. Harkness gave me to take in for Mr. Maitland to sign because you were away on holiday.
I'm sorry, Helen, I don't understand. How did Frank Morgan's signature appear on the document if you, in fact, took it in to Mr. Maitland for him to sign?
Because Mr. Maitland wouldn't sign them, that's why. He made me take them back to Mr. Morgan for him to sign. Now he's dead and it's all my fault.
Helen, are you quite certain of what you're saying? Because it's of the utmost importance.
You mean that Mr. Maitland refused to sign the release notes and made me take them to Mr. Morgan for signature? Yes, Dr. Hellman, that's what happened.
I want you to stop being upset and to think very carefully before you answer. When you brought the release notes back for Mr. Morgan to sign, did you tell Mr. Harkness what had happened?
No, miss. The first anyone knew about anything being wrong was on the day the FJ-101 crashed, and I found the release note signed by Mr. Morgan. Oh, please let me tell Mr. Maslin the truth. I'm so ashamed.
So you shall, Helen. So you shall. But first, I want you to tell Nigel Morgan what you've just told me.
Wait here. Nigel, could you come in for a moment, please?
Yes, of course. There's one hell of a row brewing out there. The cable supply to the Dorsal are failing because they're way under specification. And Maitland's signature's on the release note as design engineer. He's waffling like mad, trying to blame Gordon Harkness, but it won't wash. He signed and he's stuck with it.
So, he managed to get him at the second attempt.
Who managed to get who at the second attempt?
You were right, Nigel. The FJ-101 wasn't meant to crash. The explosion was meant to draw attention to a mistake made here in this factory. An incorrect rivet procedure raised by Harry Anderson. Only the wrong man signed the release note.
But Anderson bombed the FJ-101. He'd hardly want to draw attention to his own mistake.
Anderson didn't bomb the FJ-101. Gordon Harkness did. He used the circuit designed by Anderson so that if anything went wrong, Anderson would get the blame, exactly as he has been blamed. He's already been arrested.
So it wasn't my father he was out to expose?
No, it was Philip Maitland. Harkness spotted an incorrect procedure raised by Harry Anderson. He sent it through for Maitland to sign. Unbeknown to Harkness, Maitland rerouted it for your father to sign, and this is entirely correct, isn't it, Helen?
Yes, Dr. Hellman, that's what happened.
This child was the unwitting pawn, moving paperwork about for Harkness, who was hell-bent on fixing both his rival, Harry Anderson, and his boss, Philip Maitland, who has robbed him of all credit all these years in this factory. But two things went wrong. The aeroplane crashed, and your father signed the release note. Maitland made Harkness accidentally kill your father, whom he adored.
So, to settle the score for par, he designed substandard cables for HMS Dorsal and allowed Maitland to sign for them.
He made pinholes in the cable's insulation so that Anderson would see the cables to be faulty during harbour trials, not realising that electrical interference within the submarine would blot out Anderson's oscilloscope, and the fault would go undetected until the sub was at sea and submerged.
God! Dorsal all but suffered the same fate as the FJ-101.
Now, Helen, now you can tell Mr. Maslin the truth. But before you do, we have to get our hands on Gordon Harkness. Where is he?
He's in the lab, watching the cables fail under test and digging a hole to bury Maitland in.
Right. Let's go and give him a small push from behind, shall we?
Ground control, Fastjet 102. Push back from stand. Ulid 08, over.
Fastjet 102, hold position.
Fastjet 102, clear to push back.
Fastjet 102, roger.
Well, Mr. Massey, there's your second aircraft, safe and sound and ready to leave for Peking. How do you feel?
You can tell your children that you once knew a happy man.
What about the factor, Mr. Maslin? Will you withdraw your MOD license because of what happened to Frank Morgan?
I don't think so, Dr. Hellman. With Maitland gone and you two there to look after things, I don't think I'll have too much to worry about. Mind you, I might get a little bit nervous if either of you decided to resign at some time in the future.
There she goes.
Goodbye.
And good luck.
I Said the Sparrow, the cast was Dr. Rosemary Hellman, Shirley Dixon, Henry Maslin, Alan Dudley, John Saunderson, Peter Jeffrey, and Lord Glengower, Cyril Luckham. Dr. Nigel Morgan, Gareth Armstrong, Harry Anderson, Jim McManus, Duncan Jones, David Graham, Graham Bowles, Michael Maloney, Kathy Bowles, Teresa Stretfield, and Mrs. Bowles, Catherine Parr. Philip Maitland, Clifford Norgate, Gordon Harkness, Michael McStay, Helen Tammy Ustinov, Mrs. Hellman Pauline Letts, First Lieutenant George Parsons, Captain of Dorsal Gregory DePaulnay, Coxswain Ronald Herdman, and Wren Officer Khan Francis Jeter. Officer Swinburne David McAllister, Naval Policeman Andrew Seacombe, Captain of Fearless Crawford Logan, Signalman Spencer Banks, First Seaman Stephen Garlick, Second Seaman Hugh Dixon, and Lab Assistant Michael Tudor Barnes. Our acknowledgements to the captain and the crew of HMS Finwhale for their help during the making of this play. I Said the Sparrow was written by Michael Davis. The play was directed by Jerry Jones.